The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And we begin the program with one of the rising stars in the Southeastern Conference. He is KJ Jefferson, the starting quarterback at the University of Arkansas. Huge season last year as a Razorback, surprised a lot of folks. First of all, KJ, thank you very much for dropping by. I know you have a lot of preparation before the season begins. How are you?
I'm doing good. Glad to be on the show. Just taking it day by day and embracing it.
I know at this point all the talking heads have made the predictions and the fans are excited. As one of the leaders of this football team, what's the most important thing for you right now in terms of keeping your teammates calm and getting ready for the opener, which is a big one?
Just being able to be disciplined and also just being consistent, and also just coming from a leadership standpoint, just being more vocal in adverse situations and making sure my guys are on the same page and we all on one accord.
Coach Pittman has talked a lot about the moment when it finally happened for you. Everyone has different views of when young players ascend and become the leaders or one of the leaders. As you reflect back, was it a particular moment? Was it a particular game? Or did you simply evolve into this role?
I would say I just evolved into this role. I mean, I don't look at it as a particular game. I just really stood out and showed great leadership and all like that. I feel like it kind of growed on me as the season went on, and now I'm in a position to where I'm confident and comfortable with being more vocal as a leadership standpoint, and just also being able to just gain the confidence from my teammates, and also they putting their confidence in myself and being able to just come out and just also just show them that I'm a good leader and very vocal as well.
KJ, listen, you were there when things were grim. A lot of folks right now, the underclassmen don't know what you went through and some of the your friends along the way went through. What has Coach Pittman meant in terms of the moment he took over to where this program is now?
Just making sure that we're all together. I mean, the locker room being divided under no circumstance. So just make sure that we're all together. We trust in him. We trust in the whole coaching staff that he put together. And then just also just being loyal. I mean, the main thing is being loyal. Once you get a new coaching staff, they come in, and once you gain their trust, you just have to be loyal and just willing to do anything for their coaching staff. And just, I mean, my teammates, we love the way Coach Pittman came in, bought into the system that he put together around us and the culture that he brought back with the hard working mentality. So we all just bought in and trust the process.
Fans, KJ, have their own mind on what the team is going to do. And commentators like myself, we get fixated on, okay, we know what happened last year. Here's where we think it will be this year. As a player, do you and your friends on the team pay attention to the predictions, where the media has you? And if so, does it affect you?
We look at it. I mean, it's social media. It's all of social media. I mean, pretty much we're on social media throughout the day. So, I mean, we seize it, but I mean, it's just also just motivation to just drive us each and every day to just prove everybody wrong. I mean, that's just the standard here. I mean, we've always been the underdog, so just being able to look at those predictions and then just move along, embrace it, we look at it, use it as motivation to fuel the fire.
Does it bother you at all when you look at the rankings and they're out this week and you have Alabama, of course, number one, and Georgia, number three, and there's Texas A&M in the top 10. This is a team that you guys beat last year. You'll play again reasonably early in the season. And I'm not saying Arkansas is low. I mean, you're certainly in the top 25 at a good position, but you're behind a couple of other schools. Does that affect you at all?
It doesn't. I mean, it's just being me. I try not to look at it too much. I just like to put my head down, keep going to work, and then I just also encourage my teammates not to try to dwell on rankings and all that. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. As long as you're putting the work in and you're grinding each and every day with your teammate, building chemistry and bonding with each other, the work will just show itself. So just being able to just come in and just keep working and don't pay attention to the rankings at all.
To put it mildly, you have a very difficult schedule. Everyone knows where Cincinnati was last year on New Year's Eve. They were in Dallas taking on Alabama for a ticket to the national championship. The second week is South Carolina. That's another team that shocked everybody. A&M we already talked about, and then there's Alabama and Mississippi State. In terms of the the first half of the season, and it doesn't really get that much easier after that. Can you afford to calculate it, or as coaches always talk about, we only know what we're playing in the first game, and that would be against Cincinnati.
Yeah, I mean, we have a pretty tough schedule looking at it, but I mean, that's how we want it. I mean, we want to be able to have a tough schedule just to sort of showcase our talent and show what we can do on the national stage, a big stage. So just being able to have a schedule like that, I mean, it really shows that our program, where our program stands, are we on the rise, or are we being complacent enough and stuff like that. So just being able to look at the schedule and just go take it one game at a time, starting off with September 3rd versus Cincinnati. Just being able to come out and then just play Arkansas standard football.
KJ, before you go, a couple more questions just about yourself. And I know quarterbacks sometimes are the toughest ones on themselves. They live in the film room. They're always trying to correct. When you evaluate yourself, and I know that's not the easiest thing to do, but you have to do it when you're dealing with your coaches. What do you see today, and how do you feel you have improved from a couple of years ago when you were talented but quite raw?
Decision-making. I would say decision-making, just footwork within the pocket. I mean, I know I can get out the pocket and create plays, but also just being able to have great footwork in the pocket and being able to deliver a great ball while in the pocket or being rushed and stuff like that. So just being able to be calm in the pocket and deliver a good ball to my teammates. And also when I say decision-making, just being able to just go through all my reads and not trying to force the ball and fit the ball in tight windows when I don't have to, when I can just check the ball down. So just decision-making on where the ball should go and knowing where the ball should go based on what the defense is trying to disguise or what coverage they're getting into. So just decision-making and footwork within the pocket.
KJ, for those of us who don't know what it's like, we think we do, but we don't. When you break the huddle and you're checking out everything, I mean, there's just a split second to make a change, to make an audible, to look to the sidelines. Can you take us through that process? Because it's so interesting to watch you go through your progressions. What's it like being the man who has to make these decisions in a split second moment?
I would say since I've been doing it for so long, it's kind of easy, but it's really like a video game. I mean, once you break the huddle and go out there, I mean, you see all the moving pieces and everybody's just staring at you. So it's really like a video game. So I try to think of it as a video game, just being able to just everything just animated and stuff like that. So, I mean, I try to think of it that way. I don't try to think of like everybody just trying to come kill me every single play which they are, but I look at it as it's just a big video game and I just got to go out there and execute. That's all.
I mean, this sounds crazy because it has to be tense. You're in a stadium. There can be 100,000 people screaming. But is this fair to say that for someone like you, a leader and somebody who's done it a long time, that may be the calmest moment that you will have because you can't be jittery. You can't be excited, can you?
No, I mean, for me, I live by just being cool, calm, and collected. I mean, that's my three C's I just live by. I mean, just going out there being calm and then just also just relaxing. I mean, just being cool and then just executing at a high level. I mean, you being collected. I mean, everybody looking towards you to see what you're going to do in certain situations. So just being cool, calm, collected, and just going out there and play your brand of football, and everything else will take care of itself.
How do you, off the subject of the game, but before the game, how do you stay relaxed? I mean, is it music? Is it conversation? What are you doing?
I would say music, and I also like to just drive around, listen to music, just to clear my head, clear some thoughts, just get my mind off of football, try to get away from it for a little bit. So I just say just drive around, listen to music, or sometimes I go give me a massage or something, go to have a little spa day, self-care day. Just something like this. I just be able to get my mind just completely out of football.
Okay, you've given me the obvious question that America wants to know. What music, what artists are you listening to calm down?
I got a few, actually. I listen to Rod Wave to calm down. I also listen to Lil Baby a little bit, and also Lil Durk. But I would say just to calm down, just ease my mind, I listen to Rod Wave.
You're not going to believe this, but I've got the same three guys on my list. So, hey, what a pleasure. Well, we can't wait to see you in a couple of weeks. We'll be out there for the first game. And, KJ, you keep doing what you're doing, and thanks for making time for us.
Thank you all for having me on the show. I enjoyed it.
It was our pleasure. We take a short break. Back with much, much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We got a couple of headlines here as Bama is number one. Have you heard that? But will they stay there after that difficult opening win against Utah State? Under Nick Saban, they haven't always hung around the top position. Sometimes they've been better. Sometimes they've only been number one the final day of the season. Gut feeling, Bama will go wire to wire. That's not a very outlandish prediction, but this seems like just one of those years for the GOAT. Meanwhile, Jermaine Burton. He is adjusting. Remember, he played for Georgia last year. Does that sound familiar with the wide receiver? The wide receiver last year played for the loser the previous year. This time, the wide receiver transfers after playing for the winner. Go figure that out. And how many of you care about this? The CFP title game in 25 will be in Atlanta and in 26 in Miami. I guess if you're an Alabama fan, you care. Will it matter if you're an Aggie fan, though? Brett Venables, he survived last week. That was when one of the Gundy boys got run. He has praised the team's resolve, saying that they've not allowed distractions, even though it seems like that was a pretty big distraction. By the way, Coach Venables, how do you know? I mean, how do you know what's going on? Meanwhile, it's back to school week again. We've got a number of some of the finest student reporters anywhere coming up today. Let's get some calls here, and Andre is up next. Hello, Andre.
Hey, Coach, what's going on?
Hey, what's happening?
Well, what are you hearing good out of Baton Rouge, Coach?
I hear this could be the year. This is
Come on now.
This is 2019 reincarnated.
Hold on there.
Miles Brennan will lead LSU to the Miles Brennan's not playing this year. I'm sorry.
Listen, I heard you say that about Mississippi State yesterday.
Andre. Just you and me talking here, okay?
Yeah.
Do you realize?
Yeah, go ahead, Coach.
Andre, you got a job. I have a job. Do you realize the people I report to and pay me every week? They pay me to say good things about all the teams, okay? they call me and they say, thou shalt not criticize an SEC team.
Well, let me ask you this, Coach. Now, you know this better than I. What has Mike Leach ever won?
Hold on. You ask me a question. Yeah. I will answer it. He's won craziest coach award in about three different leagues.
And that's about all he's won, too. But some of these people believe in Mike Leach. And yesterday you said you thought Mississippi State was on the rise. And, man, listen, with what? This thing is about recruiting and talent. Maybe I'm missing something here, Coach.
No, they are on the rise. I mean, they can't be much worse than they were last year, can they?
No, they can't be. Listen, I'm from Mississippi. I was born and raised in Vicksburg. I've seen Mississippi State have decent teams, I've seen Ole Miss have decent teams, but that's about it. Now, I'm an LSU fan. I don't have a dog in the fight, but come on, Coach. I heard that yesterday, man. I slammed on break. I really did. And the thing up there in Kentucky with Stoops and Calipari, hey, at least Calipari does have an NCAA championship at Kentucky, and Stoops has, well, we're on the rise. So and everybody knows Kentucky is a basketball school. Calipari shouldn't have said what he said, but they are a basketball school, Coach.
Well, I can't admit that either. I'm precluded from saying. Andre, in the SEC, everyone's a football school. Everybody.
Listen, are you welcoming Ann Arbor now, or where y'all at up there too?
No. I would have to be down to – there would have to be something in Ann Arbor that would save my life for me to go there anytime soon.
Hey, Coach, have a good day now. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Andre. Always a pleasure. One of my favorite people. AC is next.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. All right. You know what? Everybody gave you an idea about what is that, Ring of Honor, caller's bracket. I have one for you. How about top 16 guests, have them in a tournament? Put out, just like March Madness, top 16 guests you have on, like, I'll give you an example, like Barrett Salee, Mike Griffith, et cetera, and have these rodents, cockroaches, both on social media, plus on air, so you can advance them one by one, so that I'm looking at Sweet 16 to Elite 8, Final Four to Finals matchup to determine who's the best guest, because everybody says Team Brando, everybody says Peter Byrne, etc. Well, let's determine. I mean, it's a great idea, Mr. Feinbaum. That's number one piece. Number two, I have another great idea. Why don't you have the background cheerleaders to do the show 1 hour each? Like, you're gonna have Heritage to do an hour, you're gonna have Jamari doing an hour, etc. Think about that too. And the last thing, Mr. Randy Heritage, the way you laugh, my brother, it seems like it's going to be an earthquake. I hope the studio doesn't collapse. Thank you so much for taking my call, Mr. Feinbaum. You know, when Tribal Chief arrives, it's all energy whatsoever. 100% all out. Jimbo Fisher, you can't hang with me, homie. Gotta go, Mr. Feinbaum. AC's up from Canada.
Is there medicine that cures whatever he has? Because I terminal is a strong word, but I think it's accurate. Pat is up next.
The medicine's called Southern Comfort.
That's pretty good. Give me some of that.
Let's talk Kentucky for a minute. Right today, they're a house divided. No doubt about that. And they are a basketball school, Paul. Their football program with Stoops is becoming relevant. I think they'll finish second in the East, worst maybe third, but Kentucky, as you well know, 8 national championships in basketball. They're fewer and further between right now, the last one being in 12, and Calipari's been there since 09. He's got one, and we are getting into this one and done, so you got to know how to recruit, but how much coaching do you do with 5 superstars who don't think they need to be coached? But Stegman Coliseum in Athens, I've probably been there 50 times in my lifetime, if not more. It's right now, it's a fantastic facility. I'd rather have Rupp Arena and have Kentucky's basketball record over the years than Georgia's basketball record. Can they get their house undivided, you think, and move on?
I'm not optimistic, Pat. I think this is a situation that was allowed to fester, and everyone's taking sides, and what's right or what's wrong really isn't the issue. The fact that they have some issues up there, and ultimately Calipari can win his way out of this, but he has to do something he's only done once, and that's win the national championship. Because winning a bunch of games no longer counts much. Fans are restless up there, And he did the one thing he didn't really need to do, and that was step on, and I'm using a charitable word there, Mark Stoops.
Absolutely. Well, is he beginning to look like Bobby Knight in his waning days at Indiana, at Kentucky, you think, maybe?
I don't think listen, Bob Knight had done a lot of things before he was eventually fired. You know, he had tried to choke a student reporter. He had acted irrationally. I mean, Calipari's only allowed his tongue to get in his way so far, but ultimately people remember what you've done lately, and the last thing John Calipari did was lose to St. Peter's, which is somewhat unforgivable. Let's take a break. More to come. We'll start back up with our tour of the student reporters across the SEC. AC is your – no, I read that wrong. Aiden is joining us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We continue going back to school. You see all the back to school signs up for the local malls. Well, we're doing it as well, except we're not going to the mall. We're going to the campuses and finding some of the most outstanding and brightest young student journalists, including Aiden Gallardo from the Daily Mississippian. He joins us. Aiden, thank you for the time. And what's it like being in your role right now with Lane Kiffin about to start another season? Good afternoon.
Hi, thank you, Paul, for having me. It's been a whirlwind of an off season, to be honest. There's so many new names coming in, so many new faces. We got a quarterback battle between Jackson Dart and Luke Altmyer, which is pretty interesting to see, because it's pretty close, more close than people thought. So there's still not a clear cut quarterback one for week one, so they're still trying to figure that part out.
Aiden, I know it becomes almost cliche to talk about the coach, because there are a lot of great players, as you mentioned, battling for positions and hoping to at least equal or improve on what Ole Miss did, but it's hard to get away from Lane Kiffin. What's he like in terms of the average student? I mean, you are an average student, but you're also a member of the media, so you have a closer view. But what is his rep on campus among the rank and file student?
Honestly, we love him. He's kind of relatable in a sense, just because he's one of the younger coaches in college football. So we could sort of relate to him a little bit. I don't know if you've heard of his dog Juice. He's been kind of the spotlight in recent weeks. He's got like 19,000 Twitter followers, which is crazy. So Kiffin's just kind of like a fun guy to be around. He's not too serious, but he's serious at times when he needs to be.
Aiden, I have heard of the dog, and I thought somebody asked me this the other day, and I heard about it, but I've not really paid any attention to it. But is this story true? And if so, can you explain how Lane Kiffin ended up recruiting a punter on frat row?
Oh, man. I mean, I don't know too much about it, but I do know that, I'm sure everyone knows that he was seen at like a frat house drinking, like at a party, which is pretty interesting to see coming from a punter who's, I think he's 250 pounds, I believe. So it's pretty funny to see.
Aiden, I don't know what's more surprising, the fact that a punter weighs 250 pounds or the fact that there's drinking going on the Ole Miss campus. But anyway, let me get back to football for a second here. In terms of expectations, the quarterback battle you've mentioned, it seems like a lot of great players have left this program. It's hard to keep up with everyone that has joined in the portal. Where are the strengths and the weaknesses of this team as you see it?
Well, the strengths, I would say, is surprisingly, or not, I don't think surprisingly, but it's offense. Ole Miss got a lot of offensive transfers, headlined by former five-star recruit out of high school, Zach Evans. He was at TCU last season, so he came over. Quarterback or tight end Michael Trigg from USC, he played with Dart, so they have a little relationship with each other, which is always a plus. I think Michael Trigg could be really something special this year. I expect him to get a lot of looks in the red zone. And his size and speed like wide receiver ability, his hands, they kind of remind me of Michael or Kyle Pitts in a way. But yeah, we got a lot of explosive players from the transfer portal.
Aiden, as you look at that schedule, and we'll show it for those who aren't as familiar as you in a minute, there are some breathers. I mean, last year, if I remember, Ole Miss started off in one of the neutral site games and had a chance to get going. There's always difficult games. Of course, Alabama pops up, the usual suspects. This year, it's Troy, Central Arkansas, and then at Georgia Tech, which is an unusual game, but certainly by no means extremely difficult in Tulsa, and then Kentucky and Vanderbilt. I mean, it looks to me as a schedule that is incredibly manageable early on. How do you see it?
No, yeah, I expect Ole Miss to go, I think, 9-3 at best. I don't think they'll struggle to start out the season. I think it's really easy to go 6-0, just because they played Troy, Central Arkansas, Georgia Tech, Tulsa. Kentucky might be a little challenge, but I think Ole Miss could come out with the win. But then as you look towards the end of the season, you see matchups like Alabama. You see matchups like Texas A&M, Arkansas. So I think Ole Miss loses to three teams. I think Auburn, Alabama, and Texas A&M. Auburn, because they've always given the Rebels fits in the past. I think they've won 6 or 7 straight against Ole Miss. And then Alabama's Alabama, so you just got to pray for that game. And then Texas A&M, they're really tough to beat at home. We saw that last year when they beat Alabama at Kyle Field. So it's also kind of early to tell how this group will perform just because there's so many new guys, so many new coaches. So we'll just have to see how the season unfolds.
Aiden, one thing that we're trying to do, and when we talk to young people like you on the campuses, is find out a little bit more about you and what you've done. I know you've done a lot of interesting things for a young reporter covering major league teams. Tell us about your background and what brought you to Oxford.
Yeah, so I'm from Miami, Florida. The first time I went to Oxford was when I was a sophomore in high school. I was going to visit my older brother, who was at the time attending Ole Miss. So I remember going up for an LSU game. And the moment I went into the town, I just fell in love. The people there are just so close-knit. The campus is beautiful. And everyone there just loves football. SEC is the place to go. So being from Miami, Florida, it's such a big city. There's so many people. I think Oxford was a nice change of pace, and I just really enjoy it.
Aiden, not to rush you out of Oxford, but at some point you'll have to cross the bridge into the real world that all of us adults deal with every day. What would you like to end up doing once you get out of school?
I hope to be a sort of professional league insider. You see guys like Adrian Wojnarowski, you see guys like Jeff Passan, like that type of guy. But we'll see what happens and see if everything comes into place.
Well, I'll say this, Aiden. Of all the classifications at the big networks like ESPN, you have picked one of the best based on knowing those individuals and how valuable they are to the company. Aiden Gallardo joining us. Aiden, thank you so much for the time. We hope to see you as the season develops, and I think you're on your way. Really appreciate your time today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Aiden joining us from Oxford, Mississippi. As we take a break, back with more of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back, and John is up next in Louisville. Hello, John.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. And I want to talk about John Calipari as well as the transfer portal, but I want to mention Pat Smith. It's always fun when you visit with him because it kind of gives us new people a bit of a genesis of your show.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and there's nobody better to go to than him. He is the official historian of the show since he originated it. But I appreciate you saying that. I thought that was a really sometimes you forget when you're interviewing somebody who's a friend of yours and a partner for many, many years that you're being heard by other people.
Yeah, he's one of the building blocks of the show, no doubt. As far as John Calipari, I feel the arrogance just oozes through his pores. He reminds me a little bit of Rick Pitino, just cheats a little less. He's a coach. He's a coach who's not won a national title in 10 years, and I don't think he's been to the Final Four in 6 or 7 years. But his job is to coach. It's not to be the athletic director. And I think he was and he's done with this interview with you earlier as well. He's pushing for a new Taj Mahal facility that really is all about nice, fancy offices for him and his staff. And, oh, yeah, we'll add a training facility to it. But, you know, he probably makes $9 million a year, probably has net worth of $50 million. He's that passionate about a new building. Be like Jim Harbaugh. He gave $2 million back to the athletic department. I just think he needs to stay in his own lane.
Well, one thing about people like that, John, they forget because they're so used to bullying their way and getting their way and manipulating their way that going public with that at this moment in time is the wrong thing to do. Anyone who's in business knows what the last quarter looked like or the earnings report, and it was the wrong time to do it, and he's now paying for that.
Yeah, with the budgets being what they are. You had an interview with Andrew Coates last week, I believe it was, and he talked about the importance of making changes to the transfer portal. And then I recall sometime in the last month or two, there was a proposal for limiting the transfer portal to, say, 2 openings a year, and it was going to come up for a vote. So my question is that still coming up for a vote, and when would it kick in? The new rules.
Yeah, John, it was supposed to come up and it has not. So I don't know exactly what has gone into the delay. But that's the one thing in talking to Senator Tuberville and talking to Coates and talking to other people that almost is uniform that the transfer portal is the bigger issue here. Let's check in with Andy, who is in Kentucky. Hey, Andy.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Very well. Thank you.
Okay. I'd like to talk about the John Calipari thing. I do not condone what he said. I do agree that we are a basketball school historically, but there's no reason for what he said. John Calipari's problem is he lets his mouth get the best of him at times. But what I do not agree with you saying the other day that you think Kentucky would be better off with another coach other than John Calipari, like somebody like a Billy Donovan, who would not even come to, he's turned the job down twice. I don't think there's a coach out there that we would want more than John Calipari. I have had criticisms about Cal more and more probably each year, but a lot of it is more off the court with just his mouth. As far as the practice facility goes, I mean, all these other schools are upgrading practice facilities. I mean, that's what they're doing. That's probably what cost us from getting Trae Young. I mean, if you were saying that we could have another coach, who do you think Kentucky would logically go out and get and be better off with?
Well, Andy, I think you either go someone like I mentioned, or you take a shot at somebody very successful who doesn't look like they're going to make a move, or you gamble a little bit on a younger coach. But I know I've gotten a lot of pushback, and I didn't intend to say that John Calipari ought to be fired. I think a lot of people in that state have misconstrued my statement. I was asked a question on a radio show, and I was giving a very long answer, and I don't know if, nor am I calling for somebody to make a change up there. I'm just simply stating at some point you have to examine, is this back and forth worth it? And until John Calipari wins a national championship, the noise is going to be there. Hey, thanks for the call. That's just the standard of Kentucky. This isn't a normal place. Trey is up next in Arkansas. Hey, Trey.
Well, how are you going, Paul?
Trey, we are doing great. Thank you.
I was calling in today to also talk about Calipari, and I have one thing also. Texas A&M is way too high in there. Don't you agree?
Well, I don't know. I would not rank them in the top 10. I think Notre Dame was probably overranked even more than A&M, but I think Texas A&M has to prove that they can win the games against schools like Arkansas and Mississippi State before they get ranked as high as they have been. Well, thank you very much for your call. Reuben is up next in Florida. Hello, Reuben.
Hello, Paul. How are you today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Very good, Paul. Hey, Paul, I know your hometown is Memphis, Tennessee, and I believe the most famous resident that I know of from Memphis is Elvis Presley, and today is August the 16th. Does that date have any significance to you?
Yes, it does, because I was a young college student on this date in 1977, working a summer job just a few blocks away from where Elvis was carried to the Baptist Hospital, where he was pronounced dead.
Well, yes, sir. Well, it just so happens that at this time, there's a thing going on over there at Graceland called Elvis Week. And it's a week-long celebration of the life of Elvis. And I was just thinking, with your ties to Memphis and SEC football and everything else, I think it'd be a great idea if you hosted a show over there next year during Elvis Week.
You know, Reuben, I agree with you. By the way,
what else is anybody going to do?
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. And people don't realize Elvis Presley was a huge football fan.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.